been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, welcome everybody to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where you talk everything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you as always for listening to us on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report, Player.fm, Overcast, and Satchel. This is a special draft edition for the Ravens coming up here. As always, you know, my co-host Brandon, he's always with me. But this time I actually have a different co-pilot. We have a special guest this evening. He's very passionate in the draft. He just loves talking it. This is his bread and butter. It's our good friend John Dugan out in Arizona. You might have heard of him before. He's definitely, and he's a great fan of the show. And not to let the cat out of bag, but there might be more to come this year with John as a partnership. The call, but first things first, wanted to introduce him. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Happy to be here. Happy that the draft is only a couple weeks away. We're right there to adding some new guys to the team. Hopefully carry us into the next chapter of Ravens football.
Absolutely, man. And speaking of that, I know we got through a first wave of free agency. I think we're probably all quiet there. But like you said, you know, welcoming new Ravens here. And in a couple weeks, we're going to have a new flock of Ravens coming into the squad here. And I'm excited to see where we go. And I don't know about you, but you know, diving right into it, there's a lot of players tied to the Ravens at 22, the 22nd overall pick, and there's a lot of strategy there. Obviously, we heard the whole mantra of the Ravens could trade that pick and fall back and acquire more picks as they did last year in a successful draft, and they still had two first rounds and still got a lot of draft picks. And they made up, I think they started with 7 or 8 and ended up with 12. But this year, looking at number 22, my needs, I don't know that they mirror yours, but my needs for this team are interior line, which is like a guard or center. They need pass rush, so a defensive end of a sort, and definitely a wide receiver, a playmaking wide receiver of that. So does my team needs mirror yours? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, any even casual Ravens fan will look at this team, and they'll see a bare cupboard pretty much at wide receiver. And any other Ravens fan that watched any games last year, it's out that primarily – most of the pressure is coming down through the middle, where, you know, Skura lined up or that left guard spot, a team leader, a guy right in the middle of his prime. You have to try to replace that. You have to try to replicate that. And I know a lot of people are high on Peanut and high on Kenny Young, but in my opinion, I don't know if those two alone can get the job done. I'd like to see him plug in another player and try to replicate what you lost in CJ.
Absolutely, man, and I felt like CJ was a huge hole left in the defense, in the interior of the defense. But when we did to free agency, I felt like the Ravens really didn't want to overpay for that type of position. I felt like they can get a younger and fresher in the draft, a lot cheaper, obviously, and with the players up and coming, Kenny Young, man, that can step right into that role. I mean, obviously, there's big shoes to fill, but I feel like with the players that the Ravens have on the squad and also, you know, who they can target in the draft, if they go linebacker anywhere in that draft, I think they can overcome that. But we already know our front's kind of set, the secondary set, but the defense, that's where, you know, apart from the pass rusher, because of obviously being out in Arizona, big buzz out there. You know, Suggs is out there now. And speaking of that, I wanted to ask you, because of that signing happened, I'm definitely curious to pick your brain about that. So you live in the area. I'm sure everybody's excited about that. What does the local media think about that? Or are they happy to, have Suggs a part of it? And what have you heard and seen so far out in Arizona with that situation?
It's kind of crazy because of all the Kyler Murray at number one, Josh Rosen getting traded, hoopla. You don't really ever hear about Terrell Suggs coming home. There was a little bit of shock and awe when he first signed, but I think there was shock and awe all over the league that, Terrell Suggs was going to leave Baltimore. I don't think anybody really envisioned that. I think we all thought if he was going to leave Baltimore, it was going to be at a press conference announcing his retirement. Crazy enough, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of hoopla around Terrell Suggs coming home, but I think that's an underrated addition for a team that definitely needs leadership outside of Fitzgerald, and a defense that, lost a lot of that when Tony Jefferson left, when the Honey Badger left, and I know that Patrick Peterson and Chandler Jones are probably extremely happy to have the elder statesman and Suggs, lining up with them.
Absolutely, man, and it's an interesting take. I mean, sad to see him go. I know, why he did it, I don't know about you. Are you going to be attending any Arizona Cardinal games to see him play out there? Or?
No, I seldom go to any kind of Cardinals games. I mean, I bleed purple and black.
right.
And I'm based out of Tucson, so it's like an hour and a half away from the stadium. The only time I really ever try to catch myself going to a Cardinals game is if Baltimore's in town. So, no, I probably won't be going up to University of Phoenix Stadium anytime soon.
Good answer, man. But speaking of the void that Suggs left, wasn't truly – he was still playing solid. I'm going to give him that. In his 16-year career, going to 17, he wanted to play more. He felt like he had some left in the tank. The Ravens felt like they didn't want to pay for it. I don't know what the logistics were, but not to talk the money in the contract. But the Ravens offered him a handsome deal. He turned it down, and he wanted to play Arizona. And I felt like that was always in his heart there. No matter if the Ravens would have offered the world, but coming into replacing a Suggs of his talent, his caliber, truly a Hall of Fame built career, some of the prospects coming out, who do you see that the Ravens could target maybe at some of these draft picks they have to fill that void?
It's going to be tough. So we're talking about a Hall of Fame, caliber player, leader. Wasn't just the guy that could get to the quarterback. I mean, Sizzle literally did everything on the field. Guys that the Ravens could necessarily target at 22, you can hope to God that Brian Burns from Florida State drops based off just maybe his measurables. He came in, he weighed in higher than people thought he would at the combine. He's a thin-bodied pass rusher, but ultra productive, has all the traits you look for. That would just be an absolute coup, a steal at 22. But I don't think he makes it past even Carolina in the draft. Now, you could look at maybe like a Cleveland Farrell, ultra productive, huge winner at Clemson, bigger body guy. I think he replaces more of what you had with Za'Darius Smith, still a really, really great pass rusher. Other than that, I don't believe that there's too many guys that you probably want to draft there at 22 to fill that pass rush need. Besides that, Montez Sweat could possibly slip. Just combine freak. Did get kicked out of Michigan State at one point, ended up in Mississippi State, but ever since he has been in Mississippi State, has been a great teammate, everything that you want out of him. And just combine warrior, tested out of his mind. Another guy I guess you could look at if we trade back would be Chase Winovich out of Michigan. He does have that Harbaugh connection. Another guy that tested just unbelievable. His agility drills were some of the best in the last 10, 15 years. So he kind of has that label to him, just a hardworking, balls-to-the-wall guy, but he has the athletic numbers to back it up too. actually was more productive than his teammate Rashawn Gary, who was getting top five, top ten love. And another guy that you could possibly get at this point, getting the Tim Williams treatment, is Ja'Kai Polite out of Florida. Was at one time projected a top 15 pick, had a just terrible, terrible combine experience, ran slow, had terrible interviews, then turned around and had a terrible pro day at Florida. But when you watch the tape, the guy just, he gets to the quarterback, he's otherworldly in that sense. So it just depends, you know, those are the kind of guys that the Ravens usually will bring in on a one-on-one interview at the Castle, or they'll go interview with their pro day, and you hope that you get some kind of insight that he was either injured or something and just tested poorly. He has come out since the interviews and said that he was immature and said some things that he shouldn't have, so at least he is taking ownership of his mistakes. But if he's another guy like Tim Williams, that if the talent and the tape shows and that can translate to the league, you're getting an absolute steal in probably the middle rounds. Outside of that, I don't think there's anybody that even comes close to replicating what you would have in Suggs even the last couple of years. So you hope that either somebody slips to 22, or you know, you're able to nab somebody by trading back, or maybe a Polite in the middle rounds.
Absolutely, man. You got some names on there that I've actually had. I wanted to ask you about Polite, because his size, because you said he had a terrible pro day there. I've already heard that he's already listed as undersized in that regard, so that could be something, but I haven't really put too much stock in that, right, because there was a linebacker that was apparently small, and that was the one great Ray Lewis. So I don't think size matters at this point. I feel like if your play precedes that, you can definitely overcome that. Now, I hear one name that you probably didn't mention. Yeah, go ahead.
I think with Polite, I mean, you're looking at a guy that's 6'3", 258. So for me, at least, that's perfect size for an outside linebacker. In terms of size, man, unless you're just like a tweener, like a Leonard Floyd, that you're just real, real light and you're getting pushed around by offensive linemen, you know, there's guys like Elvis Dumervil that played the outside linebacker position at 6 foot and played it at a high level and were super productive. So I wouldn't look too much into the height, weight scenario unless you're getting bullied even on tape.
Understandably so. And obviously top of the list on edge rushers, Nick Bosa, but I don't think he's gonna fly off the shelf real quick.
Yeah, no way.
No way, absolutely. Well, covers it here for the pass rushers. Now, getting into the saving the wide receiver best for last, I want to talk interior line. Who are some of the offensive linemen that the Ravens could target with their maybe at the 22nd overall, or maybe in the second or third rounds, these early round picks? Who do you have as far as interior? I feel like center, I don't trust Matt Skura. I feel like the Ravens could target a center. I heard there was a prospect out of Texas A&M who they really were high on, or at least some pundits were really high on, that the Ravens could look at. Have you been hearing any rumblings of these prospects?
Yeah, you know, I think interior line is probably one of my favorite first-round scenarios. I think any time you can strengthen your offensive line, it's only going to make the other positions on your offense flourish. If we give Lamar enough time to throw, enough time to see an open hole, an open gap that he can run through, I think that's only going to be a benefit to the offense. You looked at teams like the Cowboys a few years back, where they built that rock-solid offensive line, and they turned, you know, Dak Prescott into just an all-pro quarterback. There are some good interior linemen in this draft. Garrett Bradbury from North Carolina State is one that you always see kind of mock to the Ravens. I know that Matt Miller said on his recent podcast, just kind of pencil that one in to us at 22. I wouldn't pencil anybody in at 22 just because of the way DaCosta is. He's kind of a ninja. You never really know what he is thinking. I mean, Earl Thomas, for example, nobody really pinned Earl Thomas to the Ravens until the last second. But that one does make a lot of sense. They're calling him almost a generational talent at center. I believe that he could definitely make a huge impact. Let him play next to Marshall Yonda, and he's only going to get better. I'm a big Cody Ford guy out of Oklahoma. I think you lined him on at left guard. He's an ass kicker. He is a prototypical Raven. He's going to go in there, try to beat you, try to make it where you don't last the full game, and if you do, you're going to feel it tomorrow. I gained a lot of respect for him when he went on the Stick to Football podcast and talked a little bit of crap about Charles Omanahu from Texas. The guy doesn't hold back. You know, he's a prototypical Raven. You were referencing Eric McCoy earlier from A&M, another really good center prospect. I think that's a guy, if we trade out of the first round into the early second, that's a guy that we could definitely target. He's a center, athletic, you know, led a similar offense at Texas A&M where they like to run the ball. I think he could be a great pick. Chris Lindstrom out of Boston College, you know, and a guard as well, could be a really good pick. There are some really good interior linemen in this draft. I think you could look at just the tape from Oklahoma and really fall in love with a few guys. I already mentioned Cody Ford, but you look at Drew Samia, you look at Powers. There's just offensive line depth all over at Oklahoma. And, you know, we kind of went into that well last year and came out of it with Zeus Jr., and we, you know, we really struck gold there. So why not go back to the well?
Oh, I believe so. And I feel like at that point, you know, they can really, you know, look at these guys to, you know, like you said, have that Raven-like mentality. And I think that's what we lack in that line. The line was definitely a big focal point in that playoff loss, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You look at that Chargers D-line, and they were just killing us. You know, they were going right through the middle. Lamar hardly had any time to really make any kind of play. I don't care how many defensive backs you put out there. If you have a defensive line consisting of Bosa and, you know, all the others, and they're just going to town on your quarterback, hey, man, I don't think there's any quarterback that could have done anything in that situation.
I don't think there's – I mean, even with Lamar's legs, man, you know, he got sacked 7 times, and if Joe was back here, who knows, 7-plus. Yeah. You know, so, and again, you know, it's not that, I mean, right, obviously the Ravens don't draft picks just to make fans happy. You know, it's like, oh, we draft the lineman, that's not a sexy pick. Well, come on, man. I mean, we picked Jonathan Ogden for, you know, 4th overall in our first ever draft. I mean, we're not complaining.
I don't think we would have drafted a 25, 26-year-old tight end in the first round last year if we cared about what the fans wanted.
That's true, or at least the Ravens brass cared what the fans wanted. Fans don't run the team. They can run their fantasy football drafts if they do. And it's funny. I mean, we all got our opinions, and whether we're experts or, you know, novices in this realm. But at the end of the day, the Ravens are going to do what they're going to do. And if we feel – it's funny because I remember watching you know, obviously, you know, Mosley's built a career, but I remember watching the draft when C.J. Mosley got drafted, and there was people really pissed off because it was like, I forget what prospect it was, but I think there was a receiver or a playmaker there, and they're like, who? C.J. Mosley? And of course, it was like, of course, another Alabama guy, and then, oh, all he did was make the Pro Bowl in his rookie year, first ever do as a Raven. Oh, what did he do? Oh, he just got paid at the New York Jets, and he built a career here at the Ravens to do so. So he wasn't no slouch, so, yeah. Absolutely, and
unbelievable
career, and so far we wish him the best, but we'll see Gangrene come here, and it's going to be interesting. But you know, moving on to the third facet there, obviously the playmakers, the picks that would get everybody talking would be a wide receiver, and I feel like with the new offense now, with the departure of some of the wide receivers, who do we target if they go to? And obviously, the big name on the wide receiver is the big freak DK Metcalf. I just love what I see about this guy. This guy oozes purple and black, play like a Raven. But I don't even think he'll be there unless the Ravens get really crazy amongst themselves and trade up. You know, there's other prospects out there. Obviously, don't hold a candle to what he's done, but Marquise Brown's there. How about Riley Ridley out of Georgia? So I feel like, you know, it could be another Ridley, because I feel like the Ravens missed there. Again, hindsight, yes, they traded back up to get Lamar, but I felt like, hey, they would have been great if they got Calvin Ridley at 25, and then they got Lamar. So, again, with the, back in with Mark Andrews last year, I know they got lightning in a bottle there because Hurst has been hurt, and he's been the less producer of the tight ends. But, you know, redemption there. But, again, who do you see the Ravens targeting at wide receiver if we go there?
You know, I really do like the wide receiver crop in this year's draft. Really, the only people that I would tell you are first-round potential, though. I mean, obviously, yeah, you said it yourself, DK Metcalf is just absolute specimen, a freak. The guy looks like he could be in the next Avengers movie. When I saw that picture of him on Twitter that came out a couple months ago, that he just looked, he didn't look human. I mean, you know, that guy looked like a defensive lineman that's going to be lining up on the outside. So, no, I mean, he definitely would probably be my wide receiver one. His agility drills did scare me. You know, any receiver that can't really go left or right easily, doesn't have that bend to him, scares me a little bit. But the guy runs just fluid, and he runs straight line speed just unbelievably well. And the guy's huge. So that's the biggest thing with Lamar Jackson is you want to give him that catch radius, you know, that big target. He is that. I like his teammate a lot too, A.J. Brown. Got it lined up in the slot a lot with him and DeMarcus Lodge. I think he could honestly end up being better than Metcalf, maybe in the long run. He tested well as well, but he just has crisp routes. He's a guy that is reliable. He's done it for years. And then I'm a huge N'Keal Harry guy. Arizona State, so I see a lot of him. I actually went to University of Arizona, so Arizona State was our rival, so he actually did us dirty a few times. Another guy has huge catch radius, doesn't really drop a whole lot of passes, has just had some nasty catches that you can look up on YouTube. Did a lot of stuff underneath, too. You can really put him anywhere, and he's going to produce. I'm not a huge fan of Hollywood Brown. The guy weighs like 165 pounds. Can run like nobody's business, and he has the bloodlines with Antonio being his cousin. But I wonder what's going to happen the first big, you know, first couple big hits that nail that guy in the NFL. If he's going to be able to, you know, sustain that ability. I look at a guy like Akeem Butler. You know, another specimen, 6'5", runs a 4.40, but does have some drop issues. And I know that Ravens Nation is a little scarred from having to deal with the Breshad Perriman era. So I would understand if you do have those scares, those, you know, nervous thoughts about that. But a lot of his drops that I've seen have been just concentration drops, and that's fixable. It's not stuff that he has weak hands or anything like that. And it helps that he's training with Calvin Johnson.
Oh, wow. I mean, that in itself is definitely an edge, man. When you're training with Megatron, that speaks for itself. And like you said, even with the bloodlines of being Antonio Brown's cousin, you know, hey, man, since his genetics passed down and Antonio Brown's built himself a great career. But no, it's kind of like a fantasy for me, man, because I feel like if it was Metcalf or Harry on the Ravens, I would probably try to do a backflip, even though I can't, because with pairing one of these guys with Lamar and then with what we got in the backfield with Ingram right now and Gus Edwards and Ken Dixon, I feel like, and with our tight ends, I feel like that would just be the playmaker, you know, to really make a statement. I don't know if it can happen. We're going to see it here in less than 2 weeks what all comes to play, but man, if only dreams could come true there.
Yeah, you know, and I think Ravens fans forget that we do have Chris Moore out there. Mm-hmm. We did draft a couple guys last year. I'm not huge on, like, Jordan Lasley. But they are there. You know, we also have – we did sign Seth Roberts. He was a decent receiver there in Oakland. I don't think he's going to, you know, move the needle too much. And we do have Willie Snead, who was, you know, super productive out of the slot last year. So I think a lot of people will mock, like, three receivers to the Ravens. other drafts. I don't think we do that. Honestly, if we don't take a receiver in round one, it won't surprise me because it is a pretty deep group. You can get a lot of good value in if we do trade back into the second round or just, you know, trade back and attain another third rounder. You got guys like Deebo Samuel out of South Carolina. You got Mecole Hardman out of Georgia. I really like Kelvin Harmon, and you said it yourself, Riley Ridley's a really nice player too. So there's definitely depth out there, and with this team, I don't know if you have to have that absolute alpha male X receiver out there, because I don't know if they're going to absolutely be used like, you know, what people would envision with Joe.
Well, speaking of that, the prospect that I thought, doing my research here, speaking of schemes, I'm glad you brought that up. It moves perfectly right into what I wanted to bring up. You know, there's a receiver out there out of Mississippi, A.J. Brown, who pretty much had that RPO scheme down. You know, they ran a lot of slants and quick hits, and I feel like you said, that scheme built for Joe, you know, the long, deep hit, and those kind of plays versus – you know, with Lamar, you know, again, keeping it simple to see what the full potential is, it could be some of these receivers just like Brown, where they're used to that scheme of RPOs and that sort of offense, and maybe, obviously, the Ravens scouting department does their job. I mean, again, if you get Harry or a Metcalf, you know, dreams into reality, you get a big physical wide receiver who can really do damage, but, you know, is that the type of receiver that went for this offense? We might not, you know, as good as it looks on paper, it might not gel well with the personnel that we have now. So that's something that could play a factor.
You know, I think you do need that home run hitter, obviously, that gadget guy that can, you know, you can send him on a go route and he'll go get it. But I think in this offense, like I referenced before, it's so important that you have a guy that has a huge catch radius and that can go in the middle and just grab it. And, you know, I think the guys that you most are likely going to look at for that kind of receiver are going to be your N'Keal Harrys, your Kelvin Harmons, even your J.J. Arcega-Whitesides out of Stanford. Those are the guys, huge catch radiuses that, you know, they're physical guys that will go out and get it. You know, if you can tell me that you can go get a Cody Ford in the first round, solidify your line, and then trade back into the second round, because remember, we don't have a second round pick, and get a guy like Kelvin Harmon, I think I would come away with that extremely happy.
I couldn't agree with you more, man. I'm definitely excited to see what transpires draft night, especially round one, man. All eyes on draft on that Thursday night, man. I can't wait. I know this is something that, you know, we all look forward to every year, man. And we have a busy few weeks coming up, man. We got the schedule release, the draft. It's going to be a fun few weeks here around ramping up the spring months. Well, as always, John, man, appreciate you talking draft strategies with us. I'm definitely interested to see what the Ravens decide to do, and if your predictions, I should say, or your knowledge comes to fruition, and if it transpires on draft night, you know, I'm gonna come back to you and give you the kudos. But you know, there's some prospects here that we all like, and there's some that we were like, I hope the Ravens don't get. And there's been some names and linked to some other teams, and you're like, well, you know, again, that's the beauty of draft, because the experts and even us, you know, I mean, you could sit here and talk all night about, you know, where they can go, or, you know, even if we want to break down all 32 teams, but at the end of the day, we're at the mercy of the great theater as the draft, and what these GMs and owners and everybody decides to do and say, you know what, we're going to wheel and deal, we're going to do this, and we might do something different, it's interesting for me, you know, getting away from the Ravens, but I'm excited to see because of, you know, I'm also a fan of the league. Obviously, I bleed purple and black. I'm not, you know, ignorant to everything else and just saying, okay, well, I'm putting the purple goggles on. But from a draft standpoint, I'm excited to see what, speaking of draft, because obviously one of the great media gurus is now their head honcho and GM. But I'm interested to see what the Oakland Raiders do with their picks, because now they got Mike Mayock running the show there, and coupled with John Gruden as head coach. But they have 3 first-round draft picks, and they already got Antonio Brown, who they stole and didn't have to let go of any of those picks. So I'm interested to see what that team does and if any trades can happen, because wheeling and dealing is definitely a possibility.
They have been really tied to Hollywood Brown.
Could you imagine having Brown?
They outlined that in the latest Pick the Football podcast.
Yeah.
If they had Hollywood Brown and Antonio Brown, the antics alone would be worth Sunday tickets.
It needs its own reality show.
Yeah.
Well, someone said that too. They said they should do a trifecta Hard Knocks this year and have the Jets, the Raiders, and the Browns all on it.
Hey, I would sign up for that.
Me too. But yeah, man, the NFL does create some theater and drama, as we all know. But man, it's been a pleasure talking draft strategy with you, John. Thank you so much for taking the time with us to out of your schedule to break it down. This is one of your passions, and not only Ravens football, but draft, man, and always means a lot.
Anytime, man. Great talking.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks a lot for checking in. Me and Brandon are going to be back very, very shortly to break down a schedule release. I heard it's on the horizon. We have not had a date. But keep in mind, could be this week leading up to the draft. It's always been that kind of tradition. And obviously, look out for a later podcast with the draft coming up. Me and Brandon and other shows. Thank you so, so much. Everybody, for always tuning into the call and your interactions on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anywhere that you can. It's greatly appreciated. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you and all your support, and always, always sharing the call to those. Ravens Nation, thank you so much. Ravens, we're gonna get it. Draft day, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.